Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Council of Elrond. On today's episode, we're going to be looking at the elves and why they had to leave Middle-earth. Where were they going and why did Arwen have to make this big decision to stay behind? Before we get into the episode today, we just want to very quickly give a huge thank you to two of our newest members on our Buy Me a Coffee account. The first shout out is to Jack Knightley, so thank you so much, Jack. And our second new member is Dennis Williamson, who also has a fantastic handle of Eric Smells Orc Farts. So I'm not sure who Eric is, but I'm sure he'll be delighted with his mention too and this public recognition of his affinity for orc farts. So thank you guys so much. And to all our members and sponsors, we want to assure you that the money you're giving us is going straight back into this podcast in improving our gear, distribution platforms, and many other behind-the-scenes details in order to keep improving the standard of this podcast. Thank you all so much once again to our current sponsors and regular listeners. We couldn't keep this podcast going without your constant support and interaction. And if you want to become a member, you can find us on buymeacoffee.com/themelonheads. Or you can find all of our links in the podcast info section. And now, on with the episode.
Arise! Arise, riders of Theoden!
So welcome once again, everyone, to this latest episode of the Council of Elrond. Today, we're going to look at a number of questions regarding the elves, and we're doing so thanks to a question which was sent in by one of our listeners, a Mr. Nick Keat. And he asks, what's the deal with the elves sailing off to some place for immortality or whatever? Where are they going, and why are they in Middle-earth if they're immortal in this other place? Do Frodo and Bilbo become immortal too? And does Gandalf change colour again and hang out with the elves? So, first of all, thank you very much, Nick, for your question. And if you want to send in questions to us, you can do so on any of our social media platforms. You can find all the links in the podcast info section. And so that can be on Instagram, on Facebook, or on Twitter. And we'll do our best to answer some of your questions if we can. So let's look at this question. Let's break it down because Nick asks us about three or four different questions here. So the first one that I want to look at is, he says, what's the deal with these elves sailing off to some place for immortality? So, first of all, Dave, where are they sailing? Let's look at that.
So, they're sailing to the Undying Lands, or Valinor. And that was the first part of the question, right?
That's correct. Well, let's just look at that first. Okay. Where are they sailing? And they're sailing to...
They're heading out west.
They're heading out west to the Undying Lands, which is also called Valinor. And it's called Valinor because that's where the Valar live. So what is it, Dave? And where is Valinor? So you said west, but what do you mean west? West of where?
It's west of Middle-earth. And we talked about it before on a previous podcast where you kind of need to take a certain trail to get out there. And I think you broke it down quite well as if the earth was like flat at first and then it was crushed up into like a round ball and Valinor just stayed out kind of on a tangent to the rest of the earth. So you need a direct path to get out there. And yeah,
we spoke about it briefly in a podcast before, where basically we know that Valinor is out west of Middle-earth, but originally in the beginning of time, it was all connected. It was all a flat earth and everything was all together. And
like Pangaea. That's like what our earth was like. All the continents used to be connected and it was, the continent was called Pangaea.
All right. very back when we lived on a flat earth.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Pangaea. Yeah. Pangaea.
Or Pangaea.
So, what am I talking about?
Pangaea.
There is no ship now that can bear me hence.
So, what is Valinor? Well, Valinor is the home of the Valar, the archangels or the sort of demigods of Tolkien's world. And they live there, and it's also the destined final resting place of the elves. And so Valinor used to be part of the same land as Middle-earth, but at one point the god of
Tolkien's universe, Ilúvatar intervened and changed the shape of the world, separating Valinor from the rest of the world and taking it out of the reach of mortals. Now the only people capable of reaching it are the elves through the blessing of the Valar. But why is it called the Undying Lands, Dave?
Now, I've never thought about any of these, but elves are immortal, so they don't die, and the only things that live on this land are elves, usually. Obviously, there's the exception of Bilbo, Frodo, and Gandalf. Well, wizards are, they're immortal too, so I'm guessing it's just because anything that lives there doesn't die unless it's killed in battle, but there's probably no battles there either, so they're the Undying Lands.
Right, so a lot of people get confused by the Undying Lands, the title, and they think that if you go there, you will be given immortality, but in fact, the Undying Lands were called that because immortals dwelled in them and not because they granted immortality. So, yes, so it's the home of the Valar and the Maiar and these other elves then as well who, and like as you rightly said, elves are immortal. So one of Nick's first questions was, why are the elves in Middle-earth if they are immortal in this other place? And the answer to that would be that the elves are immortal regardless of where they are.
Mm. Yeah.
Three were given to the elves, immortal, wisest, and fairest of all beings.
But why then? Why are they drawn to Valinor at this point?
Well, in the movies we see Elrond talking to Arwen about going to Valinor and why would she stay here? Like, all that awaits her is death and despair, basically. So she's fallen in love with a mortal man, and I suppose this kind of thing would probably happen to a lot of elves if they were to fall in love with mortal beings. There's no point to them being there. I think the only reason they're in Middle-earth is to kind of help out, but at some point they're just going to have to return to where they come from because they don't belong. They're out of place. They're just going to live on. So if they do form any attachments with men, dwarves, hobbits, whatever, they're just going to lose these attachments, and also, everything that they will, that they create, build, and love and nurture will eventually wither away. So they would want to return to where they come from, back to Valinor, where everything's probably peaceful and great there, and the crops live on forever. And
where they fit in with their own kind of people, and not their own kind of people, but basically other people, other species that are also immortal, and they all kind of know where they're coming from, and they kind of, you know, they know what it is to build a relationship with somebody else that's an immortal being. And so when the elves are in Middle Earth, they are the immortal creatures, and they're probably quite sick of living in a land where they make these like great friends and these bonds with other races, dwarves and men, and everything eventually just dies. Or even the homes that they build, the forests that they cultivate, those lands will eventually just wither and die, whereas the elves just live on. So as you said there, Arwen falling in love with Aragorn or things like that, where, I mean, she would just live on and see him die, and what was the question?
It was, why are the elves leaving Middle-earth, is it?
Why are they leaving Middle-earth? Why are they going to Valinor?
Well, I feel like there's also, it's kind of like a theme throughout the books and the movies, but it feels like they've kind of abandoned hope on Middle-earth as well, and maybe with the whole finding of the ring, and it seems like Sauron is going to be taking over. They've done all they can. They were sent here a long time. They were sent to Middle Earth a long time ago, and they've done all they can. So they're just packing up and going, look, best of luck, lads. But we're heading home.
We're off. We've packed up the car. We're off on our summer holidays.
Yeah,
we're heading off to Blackpool.
We're all going on a summer holiday. No more working for a week or two. Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you for a week or two.
Yeah, so, well, basically, long before The Lord of the Rings takes place, when the elves first awoke in Middle-earth. So we spoke about the way that the dwarves awoke in Middle-earth. They kind of just woke up on the earth, and they were kind of like spawned like in video games kind of thing.
Yeah.
The elves had the same thing happen to them, and they were basically their spirits are not of this world, but their bodies were actually made from Middle Earth, from the Earth itself. So they awoke on Middle Earth, and one of the Valar, Arome, was sent to invite them or to summon them to Valinor in the west. And some of the elves obeyed and went to Valinor. However, some stayed behind to make homes in Middle Earth. Of the ones that went to Valinor, some eventually left again to come back to Middle Earth against the will of the Valar. So from the beginning of their existence, there was this kind of constant moving over to Valinor and then being invited by the Valar. And some of them were kind of like, no, we'd rather stay here. Some of them were like, we're a bit scared to travel across the sea, so we're going to stay in Middle Earth and whatever. And then other guys went, and then other guys kind of abandoned Valinor eventually, and they came back because there was this whole war with Morgoth and they were chasing the Silmarils. Anyway, it's a long story. So we don't have time for that today. But in the Silmarillion, Tolkien explains how the Valar felt that the elves would be better off living near the Valar in the Blessed Realm, far away from the mortal lands where men and dwarves were destined to build their civilizations and live out their lives. The invitation, according to Tolkien, was selfish to a certain extent, but it was also non-compulsory to begin with. Those elves who chose to accept the invitation were eventually named the Eldar, and those who rejected the invitation were called the Avari, which means the unwilling. So they were kind of like rewarded. The elves that came over in the beginning without question, they were kind of rewarded, and they were named the Eldar, which we know is kind of like the highest level of elf. Like they're like,
yeah,
they're like the best. So that was kind of like their reward, I suppose, for obeying immediately without question.
Your hands are cold. The life of the Eldar is leaving you.
Now, the elves were, from the beginning of their creation, destined to live out their days in Valinor, the Undying Lands. And as time passed on Middle-earth, all elves eventually became overwhelmed by the desire to return west over the sea to Valinor. And I'm just going to quickly read a quote from Legolas from the Return of the King book. "The sea, alas, I have not yet beheld it, but deep in the hearts of all my kindred lies the sea longing, which it is perilous to stir. Alas for the gulls, no peace shall I have again under beech or under elm." So Legolas, who is a woodland elf, and he's from the forests and he's never seen the sea, he's saying here that he has not yet beheld the sea, but he's got this strange desire in his heart to go there, and he's saying that he will never rest under trees again until he can actually see the sea. So it's this weird, this kind of like an awakening of this longing or this desire from the elves to go over the sea to Valinor. So
cool. It's like a fisherman's calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just like wake up one day and you're like, I want to catch some fish.
Sure.
That's Legolas right there. It is a cool quote.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, for sure. Now, although immortal in body, the elves could die by various causes. According to an essay published in Morgoth's Ring, the spirit of those elves who died in Middle-earth were summoned to Valinor, where they could reflect on their life experiences and perhaps eventually be restored to physical life, but only in Valinor.
Oh. So is that only if they die in Valinor, or... is that
no, this is if they died anywhere, oh, their spirits could basically escape their bodies and go to Valinor. So remember, cool. if an elf dies, elves are immortal. Mm-hmm. So when they die on Middle Earth, their spirit could escape and it could make its way to Valinor. It's kind of like basically a heaven,
yeah,
for the elves. But whether or not they could actually restore a physical body in Valinor, it would depend on the certain circumstances. But after the Valar defeated Melkor in the Second Great War to free Middle-earth from his tyranny, the Valar sent their emissaries throughout Middle-earth again to summon the elves to Valinor. And this time the invitation seemed to have been compulsory. So the first time it was like, you know, we'd really like you guys to come. You guys are great. You should really come to this place. It's awesome. It's full of light and, you know, gold, and it's
Disneyland.
It's basically Disneyland, and you should all come. It's gonna be a great time, you guys. And then the second time they were like, "Hey, you're taking the piss now. Come on,
yeah,
time to go.
Get back here."
And exactly. And so that second time, when they gave them this kind of compulsory demand to come, it was the Valar who kind of put that desire into the hearts of the elves that they kind of couldn't resist. But it was kind of like that's what the Valar did to the elves in that situation.
Oh, sneaky.
So
very sneaky.
Yeah, a little bit sneaky like.
Sneaky little witches.
It's kind of like Inception. They put a thought into their mind when they were asleep.
Yeah. They were like, it's not fair. They just put a little bit of want in their DNA. That's not.
Yeah, poor Legolas, nice. Like, as in he's from the woods and he's never even seen the sea. He's like, I really want to go to the sea.
Yeah. That's his surname, like, of the Woodland Realm.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
A legless son of the Woodland Realm.
It's like when you're a kid and you're watching, like, a Western movie with Clint Eastwood and you see him in a bar, like, down in a glass of whiskey and then, like, shooting some guy and you're, like, 7 years old and you're just thinking, just love a glass of whiskey.
That's marketing, like,
I've never had that, but it looks absolutely delicious. I then go out and shoot some lad in the street.
Yeah, I want that.
So yeah,
I'm Aragorn, son of Aragorn. This is Gimli, son of Glóin, and Legolas of the Woodland Realm.
Another reason the elves were so intent on returning to Valinor was because of a fear of fading. Any idea what fading could be, Dave?
Is this some sort of sexual thing? fading, is that when you go to the barber and you get a terrible cut? Legolas like fears the fade.
No, it's such a good cut that you're just afraid of it.
Fading,
you gotta go to a good Turkish barber.
Yeah, fading, is it something to do with, I'm gonna say something to do with this pure guess now, because we just talked about like how their spirits can leave their bodies when they're dead and all that. Is it just something to do with them leaving their own body and just becoming a spirit, kind of like fading away from existence?
Yeah, kind of.
Really?
Kind of. It's yeah.
Stab in the dark there.
So elves are made up of a body and a spirit, and their spirit is called their fea. But their bodies were physically made from the earth, and which I already told you at the beginning. Yeah. And at that time, Middle Earth was created in order to be a place of beauty and a place of like goodness and whatever. But what happened was Melkor was the first Valar to leave and to go to Middle Earth, and he actually ended up kind of infecting the earth with his malice and just like his evil.
Mm.
So when their bodies were made from the earth, they already had the corruption of Melkor built into their bodies, and so that created a conflict with their pure spirits. So over time, their bodies, the bodies of the elves, would actually diminish, but their spirits would remain strong, and this caused them to literally fade. So
class, kind of like Endgame. Infinity War, when everyone just, like, when he snaps his fingers. Oh, right.
I mean, that's not the same, but yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what I imagine. Let me live my life.
But I think fading here would probably be a very slow process because, of course, elves are, like, I don't know if we have any examples of this ever happening to any elves.
No.
Because even like, I think Cir Dan is, like, the oldest elf, and he's still around when they take the boat. He takes the boat with Gandalf and Frodo. He takes the boat with them back to Valinor, and he's still grand. Like, so this would probably take literally just like a ridiculous amount of time. But it is a fear that's built into the elves. They don't want to fade, and they know that this is something that can happen. And their bodies do get older, and they wither a little bit over time. That's why, I don't know, that's why Elrond looks older than Arwen, I suppose.
Why Elrond has five lines in his forehead. In his forehead.
On his big old forehead. Yeah.
This evil cannot be concealed by the power of the elves. We do not have the strength to fight both Mordor and Isengard.
Yeah, so basically, if you think of a human body and a human spirit, they kind of fade at the same rate, whereas the elvish spirits were just like, they were immortal spirits and they couldn't fade. But the bodies faded at, as I said, an extremely slow rate, but still it was it created the sort of conflict inside the elves. And in one of his essays, Tolkien stipulated that a faded elf became a disembodied spirit, equivalent to a ghost or a poltergeist. And these faded elves might have nothing to do with the world of the living, or they might become dangerous entities, especially for mortal men. Hence, the elves were instilled with an overwhelming compulsion or desire to sail over the sea to the Blessed Realm, where they could be restored and sustained by the Valar in their physical bodies. So, death was very much a part of the destiny of the elves who remained in Middle-earth. Mm. It was a true physical death of the body, but not a death by withering or aging such as mortal men and dwarves experienced. Whereas men's spirits were said to leave the world completely and seek elsewhere, elves' spirits would remain in the world until the end of time, after which they had no knowledge of what would happen to them. So just as men feared death, elves feared fading. However, unlike men, the elves had the option of avoiding fading completely if they simply passed over the sea to the Blessed Realm. So that's kind of a cool thing where you can think of this fading as if men fearing death, the elves are kind of like saying, that's my future if I stay in this land. If I stay here, I'm going to get old and fade and become a ghost, basically.
And like, Valinor must have been shite crack altogether because like, you know, that's the place where you get to live forever and you don't fade. And, you know, they're like, if the Valar are basically like, if you stay in Middle-earth now, you could fade and you could die and all this like sort of turmoil could happen to you. But they still choose to stay there. So must be kind of crap in Valinor. I don't know, maybe they don't have a good old system going over there.
Well, like a lot of elves... most elves have never been to Valinor. They don't even know what it's like. So some elves went there and then they left again.
Yeah. Well, those elves come back to Middle-earth. They obviously came and left and they're like, lads.
Yeah, but also think about it from this way as well, that in Valinor, the elves are, they're immortal beings, but they're living with Valar and Maiar. So the elves are like the lowest of the low. They're like the lowest on the pecking order.
Yeah.
And then they sail over the sea and they come to Middle-earth and suddenly, boom, they're the boss.
Yeah.
They're like, we are... such incredible creatures compared to you men and dwarves and hobbits and things like so you could see the desire of where they could like kind of feel like they were so much better than everybody else in Middle-earth, I suppose, and they could kind of rule things.
So it's basically like when I was in school and I was in honors level maths and I was the lowest of the low, and then basically I got welcomed down to pass level maths and I was like, I am the king in here. Why would I ever leave? But the real place to be was in honors maths.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. That's a really good. It's a really good description. I've had that same experience when you move from like the smart class and you're like not doing well, and you move into like the dumb class. Yeah. And suddenly, you are the king of the dummies.
The king of the dum dums, and they all come to you.
But eventually you're like, I really need to go back to the smart class at some point. But for a while, I'm going to just stroke my ego in this dumb class. Yeah. Like I'm going, oh my God, how did you know that answer? And you're like, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
We must move on. We cannot linger.
So basically, some of the elves believed that they could delay the inevitable choice for all elves to go back to Valinor. And they thought that they could find a way to preserve Middle-earth, to basically... delay the effects of time. And when Sauron learned of this, desire that they wanted to try and find a way to basically stop time, he taught these guys how to make the Rings of Power. And that's one of the things that the Rings of Power did. They were constructed to hold back the force of time and to preserve Middle-earth. And I think we've spoken about that before very briefly, where in Rivendell and in Lothlorien, there's these kind of feeling and a power like time doesn't really work the same way there. And especially in Lothlorien, I suppose that they show that they don't really know how long they've been in that place. And it feels like they've been there for a couple of days, but it could be months, but they've no recollection of time. And everything is also really incredibly beautiful. And like the plants and the trees are just otherworldly. And basically that's because both Galadriel at Lothlorien and Elrond in Rivendell had rings of power, and they were using that power in their land to make their land basically be almost like a reflection of the land that it would be like in Valinor. So that's another small thing that those rings of power did. So that's kind of one of the ways that Sauron was able to trick the elves and give them the rings. He was like, look, I know that you guys are actually afraid of the land dying, and you're afraid of fading. You're afraid of basically time passing quickly. So here, take these rings and you can basically stop time.
Yeah, smart. It's cool as well in the movies how they really show that as well. Like all those scenes, especially in Lothlorien, they're like pretty much all in slow motion. And like Galadriel's talking, it's like in slow motion and everything is like slow turns. And then the same in Rivendell, probably not as much, but everything is still quite slow there when you compare it to the rest of the fast-paced scenes in the trilogy. Like,
yeah, the elves are pure chill. Yeah. They're just like, what I would like to tell you now.
They're like Treebeard.
And you're like, oh my god, get on with it. Actually, according to one note, Tolkien estimated that the elves felt the effects of time in Middle-earth at a rate of 1% while the rings were functioning. So just really slowed down the time. So time went by at an incredibly slow rate. But again, that just wasn't going to be enough in the end for the elves because they live on forever. So eventually that time was going to catch up with them. However, with the destruction of the One Ring, all the other rings of power failed. And we've seen that before. So when you destroy the One Ring, all of the other rings of power stopped working. So then suddenly the full weight of the thousands of years then fell upon the elves and fell upon the Elder, especially the keepers of the rings of power. For example, Elrond, Círdan, Galadriel. Well, Gandalf had a ring of power at that time. Círdan's one. So these elves were threatened with rapid aging and possibly fading. They had become very weary of the world and were on the verge of burning out. Hence, they had no choice but to leave Middle-earth forever and seek out the Blessed Realm where they could be healed and restored. So basically the elves eventually all have to leave Middle-earth at some point or fade. And yeah, that's the main reason why they have to go to Valinor.
Yeah, that's mad actually, thinking about how it would have affected them when the ring was destroyed. They probably all just kind of started getting really old one day and just like, oh, what's happening? Oh no, they destroyed the ring. So they were kind of for and against the destruction of the ring. But
yeah, they were probably like the opposite of Théoden when Gandalf performs his
exorcism
on him. Like,
yeah.
Where he like rapidly becomes younger again. The elves were just like, oh my god, I'm getting the opposite.
Yeah. It's like leprosy and all their fingers and noses start falling off. They're like, I'm fading.
Maybe that's maybe more like in Endgame or in whichever one it is.
Infinity War, yeah.
Where they suddenly start to fade really quickly.
Yeah.
So that's the main reason why the elves have to leave Middle-earth. So
very good. Yeah, I think, like I said it earlier in my answer, but I always kind of thought, I know that there's supposed to be a theme in the books of the elves leaving Middle-earth, but I always just kind of thought it was because they were kind of fed up or because they gave up on Middle-earth and they gave up on the beings there. Like, initially they were around to help out, but they're like, right, we've done all we can. Our time is up. Sauron's going to take over. Let's head back to where we know.
Now there is no just one answer. Like, we spoke about a few different variables there. Like, okay, yeah, like what you're saying now is also true to an extent that they kind of like, you know, they had been around for so long and eventually everything was kind of just turning to shit. Like, and they were kind of like,
yeah,
look, we've done our best. All of our human friends are just dead, and you know that we met their kids, they died, and you know their children's children are all dead. So it's just pretty depressing, like, you know.
And I killed one or two myself.
You know, have you ever seen like a movie or you see an old person in like a nursing home and they're just there, like, and they're sitting there and just kind of going, everyone I've ever known is dead. Yeah. You kind of going,
multiply that by 100,000, and you're like, that's the life of an elf.
Like, just to give you an idea, I can't remember the exact number, I just saw it the other day. It was something like, we know that Arwen and Aragorn are related, but basically Arwen's dad Elrond has a twin brother Elros, and so Elros, his like great grandson was Aragorn. And we were saying, how closely related are they? Well, as we said, Arwen is the daughter of Elrond, but Aragorn and Elros had about 60 something generations between them. So it's just like a huge number of people have just like been born and died and born and died, while just these two elves are just still chilling. Yeah. Or just one elf. Elrond's still there and he's like fine. He hasn't even noticed the effects of time changing that much at all.
Yeah, must be so mad. Like, mad seeing like a man baby or a human baby being born and then just be like, all right, I'll see you grow old. And die. Yeah, well, that would be mad too, seeing a man baby being born.
This baby's a man.
Take off that mask. It's a man.
an old man. It's like Benjamin Button.
Yeah. This baby's Brad Pitt.
Lembas. Elvish waybread. One small bite is enough to fill the stomach of a grown man.
Now, Nick did have another couple of questions on the end of his initial one where he says, do Frodo and Bilbo become immortal too in the Undying Lands? Now, we kind of already answered that quickly at the beginning. So I'm going to ask you, Dave, what would have happened to non-elves or to mortals in Valinor? What would have happened to them? For example, Frodo and Bilbo, when they went to the Undying Lands, what would have happened to them?
Well, I always thought that they would have been able to live longer, but I guess nothing. Did they just go there and die in peace? It's only called the Undying Lands because the elves live there and they don't die, but it doesn't seem to give any unnatural length of life to non-mortals, or does it?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you something now that's quite upsetting.
Oh, no.
So, sadly, the nature of the Blessed Realm was that it greatly accelerated the physical aging and death of mortals.
Aww. So it's the Dying Lands.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's awful. The Dying Lands. Yeah, the non-undying
it's
lands.
It's like the euthanasia place. Like, oh, let's just kill them.
I looked into your future and I saw death.
Yeah, so if I read a quote here from the Silmarillion, it says, were you so to voyage that escaping all deceits and snares, you came indeed to Aman, the blessed realm, little would it profit you. For it is not the land of Manwë that makes its people deathless, but the deathless that dwell therein have hallowed the land. And there you would but wither and grow weary the sooner, as moths in a light too strong and steadfast.
Wow.
So they're basically saying that, like, a mortal going to Valinor is like a moth flying into a light, where it's just too overwhelming for their physical bodies, and that they would probably end up actually dying sooner than they would have done on Middle Earth. So now, they also speak about, in other writings I've seen, that they speak about this incredible sense of peace and of healing. So I think maybe, I don't know how quickly your body would wither there, but apparently but it seems like you would die earlier than you would in Middle Earth, for example. Now, I don't think it would be extremely rapid or anything, because I think you were they still, as I said, they still spoke of living out your days in peace and feeling the healing of the Blessed Realm. So I don't know, but it is, when I read that, I got a bit like depressed the first time. I was like, oh, this is the opposite of what I thought. I was like hoping that Frodo and, like, so Bilbo probably died
immediately,
like, on like when he was like stepping off the boat. He was just like,
he just stepped off and fell into the water, like, plop.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm so good to be home. Plop.
Yeah, made a very tiny plop in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate now.
That is depressing. Yeah, a little bit. I wonder what there is. I know they have a great sense of peace and all that jazz, but, like, what else do they have that would want Frodo to come? It seems like the only reason you would go is because it's such a blessing and an honor to be to be blessed by the Valar to go there. But I wonder what's so great about the place. We need to hear a book like Tales of Valinor and what goes on there.
Yeah, no, I have looked into Valinor a little bit, like, and it seems like it was the place to be. It was like unreal.
Just the cat's pajamas.
It was pretty good, yeah. So
the bee's knees.
So looking into Valinor, and why would you want to go there? Well, if you there's loads of information online. You can actually go and look up Valinor, and you've got maps, and you've got, like, the cities, and, like, all the Valar had their own little places that they were kind of in charge of. Remember, we've spoken about the Valar before, where they each have, like, their different powers and their kind of hobbies, I suppose, where one of them is a huntsman and the other one is the warrior and the other one is the, you know, the
crier,
the god. Yeah, there was the god of crying, and there's the god of all sorts of different things. So they each have their own little tasks, so they all have their own little places. But the capital city of Valinor was basically like heaven, and it was the fairest place in all of Tolkien's world, as Valinor was blessed by the Valar themselves, who are basically demigods, and they reside in it. The capital city was a place called Valmar, and it was built on the great plain of Valinor beyond the shield of Pelori and was gated with golden great gates and had gold domes accompanied by streets paved of silver. And there are some really cool online, there's some really cool images of like fan art, and people have drawn these like huge cities built on tops of mountains, and just cities completely built out of gold and silver. Cool. And it's just like, it's unreal. But then there's also other parts of Valinor which are like, well, there was a place called the Gardens of Lorien, which is considered the fairest places, one of the fairest places in the world, and was kind of like a Garden of Eden, and probably looked something like Lothlorien, I suppose. If it's called the Gardens of Lorien, yeah, that's probably where they got the name for Lothlorien. And so that's why I was saying before, where Galadriel was kind of, and Elrond, they kind of had a sort of representation of Valinor on Middle-earth, yeah, and that's what they could do with the power of the rings. So yeah, Valinor was a pretty sweet place to be, for especially for the elves and for the immortals. For the mortals, it was like an honor to go there, but they were like, thank you for this honor, and I'm now going to die. But yeah.
But yeah. But what was the economy like? That's what I want to know.
All that gold and silver. Yeah. It must have been a serious recession after that first project. They were like, oh my God, that was a terrible idea.
It's probably like Qatar in a little way, or like Dubai or one of them places. What are the football stadiums like in Valinor? That's what I want to know.
Are they going to have the World Cup in 2024?
Exactly. They should definitely put in a bid, Valinor. I'd vote for it.
Maybe they have oil in Valinor, and that's why they like built. That's why they were like, we'll stay here, and you guys should have that land over there.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll just live on this like unreal resource. But bit cheeky of the old Valar.
Sneaky.
It would be wise, my friend.
And the final question that Nick asked in his question at the beginning was, does Gandalf change color again and hang out with the elves? So what's your answer for that, Dave? What do you think?
Yeah, he changes to Gandalf the Beige.
And he lives in like a 70s style.
Yeah.
He drives a sedan.
No, there's no reason for him to change any colour. Obviously, Saruman the White, or White, was like the head of the Wizards Council. And basically, when Gandalf dies and comes back, he's Gandalf the White, and he's as he says in the movies, I'm Saruman, as he should be. So yeah, there's no reason he would, unless he wants to just put on some new robes, but I don't see why he would.
Yeah, well, first of all, there's no reason for him to change colors, but also before he came to Middle-earth, he was a spirit called Olorin. And he only took on the form of Gandalf, that like old man form, when he arrived in Middle-earth. So that's not even his natural form. So when he went back to Valinor, he probably would have not looked anything like Gandalf from before. And he's a Maia, so he could just take on the shape of anything he wanted.
A Balrog. Could you imagine?
He could have just been like, I want to look like this, yeah, why not? Or he could have just remained in a spirit form, which is probably what he could have done as well. So I don't know, it probably would have been, can you imagine like Frodo or Bilbo when they finally arrive in Valinor and Gandalf, they're like, hey Gandalf, and they turn around and they're like, oh my God, what the hell is this thing? It's just some weird spirit thing just floating around, or
ghost, like,
or a Balrog, and they're like, Gandalf.
Gandalf.
Yeah, Bilbo's just like, I want to see mountains again. Mountains, Gandalf.
And then Gandalf turns into a mountain.
Wait, Gandalf.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to imagine that Gandalf would have stayed in his old man form, in his Ian McKellen form. I like that form he took.
Yeah,
he took on the form of Ian McKellen.
Like, some days hang out as Ian McKellen, and other days he could hang out as Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, and other days he could be like Helen Mirren or Judi Dench, or you know, someone like that.
I am Saruman. Rather Saruman as he should have been.
So just before we finish talking about this, let's just maybe answer one other small question which I have to put to you, which is just maybe our listeners might be interested. Who else from the Fellowship ended up going to Valinor, Dave?
I would guess Legolas. Well, hang on, let me think about this. Who else from the Fellowship would have went to Valinor? Yeah. Oh, it's probably going to be Aragorn now, but I'm just going to lock in Legolas. Like, he's an elf. Why wouldn't he go back? I know him and Gimli went on their little travels after the events of Lord of the Rings, but yeah, I'm going to say Legolas.
Okay, so we know obviously at the end of the Lord of the Rings that Frodo and Bilbo were headed off with Gandalf. Mm-hmm. And then years later, Sam actually followed them into Valinor and he got a special pass to go in because he was also a ring bearer for a very short time.
I heard this before.
Yeah, I know you have. So just jogging your memory. Now, also, you're correct. After the events of the Lord of the Rings, Legolas and Gimli went on their little travels together. And they went and they visited like Legolas' home, and then they went to Gimli's home, and they were like, "Oh, look, I'm going to introduce you to my mom," and all this.
And they went to the Helm's Deep caves as well, and had a little romantic getaway there.
Yeah. Mm. And then eventually, Legolas and Gimli went to Valinor.
Not nice.
Now, there's no account of Manwë's reaction to seeing a dwarf come into Valinor, and a lot of people have speculated that he would have been raging because he's pretty racist towards the old dwarves.
Ah, Manwë.
So yeah, that's kind of interesting that like all three of the ring bearers, Frodo, Bilbo and Sam, they all got to go into Valinor, and then so did Legolas and Gimli. They an honorary invitation for Gimli because of his great friendship with Legolas. So
yeah, that's class. Love that.
Friendship wins them all.
Nah. Friendship and love. So here's the day. That's the power of love. That's
the power of love. So yeah. So I hope that has answered your question, Nick. Great question again. Thank you so much for sending it in. And yeah,
thanks, Nick.
There was a lot there to kind of break down, and I hope that everybody has learned a couple of things from that. And next time you're watching The Lord of the Rings and you see the elves heading off to the Grey Havens, you'll have an idea of what they're actually doing.
And next time you're watching The Return of the King, just think about how Bilbo is probably going to die in about 10 minutes when he reaches Valinor.
Yeah, he probably died on the journey. Yeah.
If he didn't make it, he certainly died there. So just remember that.
I think I'm quite ready for another adventure.
Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode of The Council of Elrond. We hope you enjoyed it and that you now have a better understanding of why the elves had to leave Middle-earth. Arwen's decision is even more impressive when you take into consideration what she was risking and giving up. Once again, thank you so much to our listener Nick Keat for inspiring this episode of the podcast. If you would like to do the same and inspire us with an episode idea, please get in touch on any of our social media, and there you can interact with us and ask us anything you like. You'll find the links in the podcast info section, along with our Buy Me a Coffee account for if you're feeling generous. Thanks so much as always, guys, and on behalf of the Melonheads, I bid you all a very fond farewell.